Let us have a little talk with Jesus. We're delighted that God has watched over us, blessed us with life, health, and strength, and with the presence of mind to come together on this, the first day of the week, to worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. And we even see some folk in the city. Well, at least one folk, and maybe more, in the auditorium that we haven't seen for a couple of Sundays. But God has blessed him out with the presence of mind to know you can go this day. I'll still take care of you. And we're glad that he's sitting back here with us, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And he's one of our tallest elders. So when he's absent, he is sure enough missed. Thank you for your prayers. God has watched over us and blessed us to come together on this, the first day of the week, to worship him in such a way that he will be glorified and we edified. I believe there's a scripture in the Bible in John chapter 10 and verse 10. John, the chapter is 10, and the verse is 10. That's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, is that in your Bible? Comes for a purpose. He cometh not, but for to do what? Cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come for a totally different purpose. I am come that they might have life and have it how? More abundantly. You would think that the Lord's house would be full every Sunday, or every time we come together, based upon what we know that he cannot lie. We know that. And he says, I am come. I've come that they might have life, and not only have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So much so that they will be happy and looking forward to it. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, left glory land, came to the world because of his love and because of his Father's love for us. All of this world was created by God for God. He created us in his image and in his likeness so that we will be able to know that we are in a place of joyfulness and happiness if you will be obedient and servant children. All that because God didn't have to do what he did, because of love. We forfeited our gift to live here on earth without sin. When Eve and then Adam disobeyed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All of this difficulties, heartaches, because of disobedience. God detests disobedience, but he loves his creation. And he provided a way for us to come back into relationship with Him. We forfeited our gift to live here on earth without sin. When Eve and Adam, as I said heretofore, disobeyed. It's a terrible thing to disobey He who is responsible for everything. Everything and every human being. We are to honor God. We forfeited our gift to live here, all because of the first two people. And I think the one that was created secondly started it and influenced the first one. Hello, anybody home? We forfeited our gift to live here on earth without sin when Eve, then Adam. He went right along. And you know, their sinful nature passed upon all future generations. But God still loved us and wanted us to love Him. Still wanted us, didn't throw us away. God planned a future life. He loves us so much, even after we disobeyed Him, to send to earth His one and only Son. Why? Because of His love for us. And He still loves us. Because when we read the chapter of Revelation chapter 20, that a part of it, and the next book, and the next chapter, He shares with us ahead of time what He has still waiting for us. We do just about everything we can do not to leave this place. God says, I have prepared another place for you. Greater place, bigger place. I love you. And I've manifested my love because I sent my Son to provide a way in which we can become favorable one with another. It is because of the love of God and the gift of His Son that we today have a relationship with God if we obey His commandments. He therefore sent His only Son to die for us, that our sins might be forgiven and our relationship with Him restored. Jesus came to earth. His Son was not hard-headed. He came to earth from His Father's in heaven, lived among us, taught us His Father's will for all of humanity. Not only that, He then willingly gave up His life, died on a rugged cross, shedding His life-giving blood while on earth, on the rugged cross. For who? Not for Himself, that we might have another opportunity for a relationship with our Heavenly Father. A gateway for us back to God. Why? He loved his Father, and he loved us, and still does. Jesus and his Father's love desired for us more than just life. They did? Mm-hmm. More than just life, but what? A more abundant life. Their desire is that we live life more abundantly. It costs God nothing to give us life, but to provide us the privilege, the joy, the pleasure, and the honor of living life how? More abundantly. It costs God the cruel death of his only begotten Son. Knowing who he is, God, and what he has done for us, sent his Son manifests that God loves us so much that sometimes it's difficult to understand why it is. We use the word love, but when we read about God's love, his Son's love, we wonder if we really understand the word called love. Some folks get upset because they didn't shake my hand. I ain't coming back no more. Are you not? Amen. Amen, Brown. God gave us his very best. God gave us his very best. Question. Can we not live a life that says, thank you? Thank you, Lord, for all of your bountiful and wonderful love. So much. When we needed a sacrifice, human beings did. But none of us qualified. Measured up. But because of your love, you sent your only begotten Son, giving us your very best. The word used by Jesus implies an extraordinary life. Not just a good life. Lived life beyond human measure. A super abundant life. Living exceedingly abundant life. Why? Same answer. Four-letter word. And guess what? I'll tell you something. If you live a life and manifest loving your life as you know God wants you to live your life, He will give you. Yes, you'll die, but he's going to wake you up. His Son died, didn't he? He got up. He's going to wake you up and say to you, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I told you that. It's in his Bible. Believe it, receive it, obey it, and share it with someone else. It's too wonderful. It's too wonderful to keep it a secret. We sing the song so joyfully. Oh, to what? God's unchanging hand. Try Jesus by living the God-designed life. Oh, church. Jesus, God. The Bible just doesn't talk about it. It gives us examples of their manifestation of their love for us. How could we do any less than let God see, even though he knows everything, manifest it to the world that can't see as much as God. That we love God with all of our being, with all of our strength. Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed his gospel? Now remember, I said earlier, his son came all the way from glory to live on planet Earth. His son chose 12 men, taught them to live and to act and to preach his gospel, his son. They had personal information. They were personally taught by God's only begotten son. Aren't you glad you heard about it? You go here on this street, that street, in just about every city, and you see a church, church here, and a church, church there, here, church there, church everywhere, church, church. All different kinds of churches. Baptist, Methodist, Dancing Sanctified, you name it. God sent his son to provide a way back to a relationship with us and us with him through his son. Jesus came and chose 12 men and taught them, trained them. When we read our Bible, particularly the New Testament, we're reading what Jesus taught the apostles to teach humanity. Brothers and sisters, as we wrap this up, how can a human value be more valuable to you than what Jesus is offering to you? Whatever you're complying with, that's, you can only commit, you can only do, or you can only, human being, from a carnal point of view, enjoy on planet Earth and not in glory land. How much sense does it make for you to share that, have that, share it, and not accept what Jesus is offering? He's offering you eternal life forever with him and his heavenly Father and the angels in glory. Ain't that good news? That's good news. How can I have it, Brother Brown? I'm glad you asked. You come by hearing his love story. That's why he came. He came because he loves us. His Father loves us. That's what I've shared with you prayerfully through this sermon. Love story, the gospel. Believing Jesus' gospel. Being godly sorrow for the things that you have done contrary to his will. Manifesting the fact in your life. I've heard regarding the love that you have for me, that you died for me, that I might have the privilege of honoring you by obeying your instructions. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it interesting? What the terminology is, what the terms are to become a child of God. You don't have to jump out of an airplane. Not necessary. You don't have to stay up all night. Not necessary. Hear the love story. I heard, I believed, I received, I confessed, and I was added to the church by being buried in water, not sprinkled, buried in water, came up out of the burial, a child of God. Died as a sinner, alienated from God, alienated from heaven. But you heard the gospel, believed it, received it, and obeyed it by going down. Coming up as a child of God. But that's your decision. Do you want to live eternally with God when you leave this world? All you got to do is follow his instructions. That's how simple it is. God knows us more than we know ourselves. What's your point, preacher? What God demands of us, to how he commands us to live on planet Earth, God knows that it's possible for us to do it. We're without excuse. No excuse for disobedience to God who created the world and then created us for the world at that time. I put that for that time on because we don't always live on the earth because of the sin that we did when we got here. We go and live with him. Hold, and we sing the song. Hold to what? God's unchanging hand. Now, if you really love to live without pain, without breaking your leg, now why did I choose that? Hold to God's unchanging hand. Don't you love living? You even take castor oil to try to keep on living a little bit longer. You take some stuff that tastes terrible. They say it'll help you. Even let folk cut on you. Because you want to live. It's already planned for us. It's already planned for you. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Try Jesus. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me one day, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself. Not somebody else, but of yourself. To God. So the question for each of us, are you ready for the judgment day when you give an account of the life on his, on your life lived on his planet Earth? Because he wants to be able to say to you, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I know you love living, But I want you to come on up a little bit higher and live with me closer. Come up a little bit higher. Living with me. Oh, church. No one on planet Earth can give you an order, an offer better than that. All to God's unchanging hand. We read in the Bible, Jesus chose his apostles, and they preached the gospel for the first time on planet Earth in Acts chapter. They started in Acts chapter 1 and flowed over. They were so happy they couldn't stop. And to chapter 2. Read your Bible. They hear the gospel. You've heard that. Believe it. I pray God that you've done that. Repent of your sins. I pray God that you've done that. You're godly sorrowful for the things you've done contrary to the will of God. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him in this audience. Do you believe? The question will be asked to you if you're not a Christian. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You answer yes. That's confessing your faith in Jesus Christ. Then be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. Forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. In glory by God, he dismisses all of the sins that you've ever committed. And be buried in water. Right behind that closed door, there's a pool of water on the other side of that closed door. Or if you go through that door, you'll get to the water too. And there's a baptizer here. I see several of them right now. Garments, baptismal garments. You won't have to mess up your suit or your dress. Give your life to Jesus Christ. You've heard the gospel. Believe it. Do you believe it? Are you godly sorrowful for your sins? That's called repentance. Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because the question will be asked, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God? And if you answer yes, we have the garments waiting for you. The baptizer is waiting to baptize you in water for the remission of your sins. Rise to walk a child of God. Live your life faithful according to his divine word. Call you off the scene of time into eternity. And then, on judgment day, you'll be there. And you will hear the Lord say, well done, a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. Come on up a little bit higher. We're going to make you ruler over many. Are you here this morning? Do you want to be a child of God? Not a church, the church. The church. Jesus' 12 apostles chose the church. So a church won't do it. The church, Church of Christ. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salute you. That's in your Bible. Romans 16, I think. And I think it's 16:16. Well, it's in the Bible. So you read all of the Bible. But you see me after I dismiss, and I'll show you a whole heap of people that can open their Bibles and let you read it just for yourself. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision that will determine where you're going to live in eternity if you live faithfully. As we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the so-cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Just before we sing another stanza of that song, think about yourself. am I in favor with God? Does my life manifest the fact that God is my Lord and Savior, and I'm living in accord with His will? If not, maybe you're planning to do it, get right with God, soon or late. But who guarantees you that time? How do you know you're going to get the time that you want? How do you know that you're always going to keep that attitude? This book, you say you love the Lord? The Lord says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. If you misunderstand that, the day you hear my voice, don't be hard-headed. All to God's unchanging hand. Obey Him. But the decision is yours. Heaven or hell is also your choice. You make the choice as we together sing.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed
in the
blood of the Lamb? Do you rest
each
moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the so cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you God? By this are they white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Brothers,